Welcome to OnkLive On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. OnkLive On Air is a podcast from OnkLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, OnkLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by AstraZeneca, we had the pleasure of speaking with Benjamin Levy, MD, about the role of antibody-drug conjugates in non-small cell lung cancer management. Dr. Levy is the Clinical Director of Medical Oncology for the Johns Hopkins Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Sibley Memorial Hospital, as well as an Associate Professor of Oncology for the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, both in Washington, D.C. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Levy discussed the current indication for trastuzumab deruxtecan in HER2-mutant non-small cell lung cancer, other ADCs in development for this patient population, and where the future of ADCs in non-small cell lung cancer is headed. All right, so speaking about the landscape of ADCs in non-small cell lung cancer, just to start off, what are some aspects of ADCs that make you reach for these agents over other treatment options for patients with non-small cell lung cancer?
Well, I think there's a lot of advantages potentially to antibody drug conjugates. I mean, currently the one ADC that we do have approved in lung cancer, you know, is a targeted chemotherapy. It specifically targets, you know, the HER2 alteration or mutation cancers that patients may harbor. You know, there's this advantage that, you know, it can do this and this can't be done with chemotherapy. Other ADCs are working on this being really selective for a target. And that's a little bit different, again, from chemotherapy. Now, to be fair balanced, there are some ADCs that don't necessarily have a target or their targets haven't really been figured out. But I think one of the main advantages is that it's selectively trying to target cancer cells without much collateral toxicity. And so I think we're only at the beginning of this. It's not a perfect system with the ADCs, but it is something that we are working on. And I'm really excited about what comes next down the pike.
What are some of the characteristics of the patient populations who might benefit the most from ADCs?
ADCs are moving on two fronts in lung cancer. The first, obviously, is patients who have cancers that harbor HER2 mutations or patients that have HER2 mutated lung cancer. And I think for those patients, you know, clearly trastuzumab deruxtecan is, you know, front and center as part of a treatment algorithm or treatment paradigm for these patients. I think probably what's up next in lung cancer is probably a drug called datopotamab deruxtecan. Now, a little bit different from trastuzumab deruxtecan, datopotamab deruxtecan is really looking at an all-comer approach without any selection of any biomarker or particular patient. Now, it appears to be more active and it's probably, if it does get approved, will be approved in the non-squamous patient population. There's multiple other ADCs that are coming down the pike, telisotuzumab vedotin, that may be able to target MET overexpressed lung cancer. We're learning more and more about these, and it's really exciting to see the field evolve.
And so then speaking about one of the specific agents you mentioned, obviously trastuzumab deruxtecan is approved for patients with non-small cell. So where does this agent just fit into the non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of movement with this compound, trastuzumab deruxtecan, this ADC. You know, currently the drug is approved as second line after chemotherapy or chemotherapy with immunotherapy. That's based on data that demonstrated meaningful responses, response rate north of 50% in this patient population that may be hard to treat otherwise. But there is importantly a frontline study comparing trastuzumab deruxtecan to chemotherapy-based regimens for HER2 mutated lung cancer. And we'll have to see how that data pans out. That would potentially move it first line. And I think that's where it belongs.
With the use of these agents, what are some safety considerations that your colleagues should keep in mind?
It's a great question about safety considerations because these drugs do carry with them some toxicity that we don't see with chemotherapy. Now, of course, they have the traditional chemotherapy side effects or adverse events. So you can get nausea, you can get, you know, cytopenias, you can get hair loss, they're potential to cause diarrhea. Those are sort of the classic ones that we see with chemotherapy. But there are these AEs of special interest that we sometimes see with these drugs. One is ILD or interstitial lung disease, still trying to work out why this happens. The other is stomatitis, specifically with a drug called datopotamab deruxtecan. And the third is ocular events. And so because of this, we really have to partner with our subspecialists to figure out, how to manage these. And there are proactive approaches specifically with stomatitis that may negate the stomatitis grade or severity. And so just as important as what patients will benefit from these drugs, there is a importance to understanding how to address toxicity.
Beyond toxicities, what are some other main challenges or limitations associated with the development or clinical use of ADCs?
We're still trying to learn about biomarkers. And I think that's the challenge here is, which patients garner the most benefit from these compounds? I think we've got the story pretty set with HER2 mutations. Clearly, trastuzumab deruxtecan works very well in patients that harbor HER2 mutations, not patients that are HER2 overexpressed, which is quite interesting based on some other data. But we've got some compounds, specifically the TROP2 ADCs, datopotamab deruxtecan, sacituzumab govitecan. We're still trying to refine the biomarker, enrich that patient population that's more likely to respond. And so I think that's really the issue is biomarker. I think the other issue is sequencing strategies. Is there an opportunity to sequence one ADC after the next? So that's kind of where we are right now with the challenges or the questions that are still unanswered.
Looking ahead, you mentioned some of the future directions already, but are there any other future, emerging trends or future directions here in, development or research? And, how do you kind of envision the role of ADCs evolving over time?
Yeah, I think we're really at the ground floor here of ADCs, to be quite honest with you. There are multiple future iterations that I think will be really important to look at. One is predicated on protein engineering, which can create these bispecific ADCs or these ADCs that have a masking protein that will not release until they get to the tumor and will stay attached if they get to off-target tissue. So it really is, helping out with the toxicity. We, of course, are going to have novel payloads. So again, very interesting to see these payloads. And then these ADCs that may have dual drug, so different payload moieties on the same ADC. I think the first one that we're going to see is these bispecific ADCs. These are ADCs which bind to two separate targets on the tumor cell. And that is probably what we're going to see first. And then we'll start seeing other iterations. But, while I'm somewhat excited about, where we are right now, I'm more excited about the future. I think there are some limitations to the current ADCs we have, not that they won't be leveraged. We're seeing modest benefit with some of these ADCs. I think once we get this, a little bit more sophisticated, and this is all predicated on synthetic biochemistry, the development of these drugs, I think we're going to see real traction and real movement with these compounds.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by AstraZeneca. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.